Heichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 24 in the series, entitled The Two Hiding Places of God, recorded live at Heichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
The story is told about a friend of the Alter Rebbe, a very dear, close friend and colleague of his, whose name was Rabbi Avraham the Malach. That's how they would call him, Rabbi Avraham the Angel. He was such a type of character that he deserved that name, Rabbi Avraham the Angel. He was the son of the Magid of Mizrich, who was the Rebbe and the spiritual mentor of the Alter Rebbe. The Magid of Mizrich was, of course, the famed pupil and successor of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement. And his child, the Magid's child, was Rabbi Avraham HaMalach. And when the Alter Rebbe the first time came to Mizrich to study at the Magid's, at the Mizrich Magid's feet, the Magid appointed Rabbi Avraham HaMalach to study together with the Alter Rebbe. So the story is told that when Rabbi Avraham was a young child yet, he once came running into his father's chamber, weeping bitterly. So his father turned to him, he says, Avremela, Avremela, what happened? Why are you crying? He said, I was playing with my friends a game of hide and seek. And it was my turn to hide, and I concealed myself in a very good hiding place, and they did not find me. And that's why I'm crying. So the Magid says, Avremela, why are you crying? You succeeded, that's the whole point of the game, that you should hide in such a good hiding place that your friends shouldn't be able to find you. So the young child turns to his father, he says, Father, but they stopped searching for me. And the Magid raised his eyes to heaven, and he said, Hashem, this is the story of our life. You created a world which is a shell, which is a husk, where you concealed your identity, your reality. And the purpose of man is not to succumb to the outer shell and veneer, but rather to probe deeper and experience the inner identity and the inner essence of reality and of existence. But Hashem, you hid yourself so well that people already stopped searching. It's time you should come out of your hiding place. Now let's continue inside. Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, the first line from the top. Ella shaklipa is heina chlaka is lustei madrege zula matamizu. However, the klipas are divided into two categories, one lower than the other. Although, generally speaking, we say that the entire world is defined as ilam haklipas, the world of the shells, the world of the husks, and the nefesh habahamis, the second soul in the Jew, the animalistic soul, with all its attributes, all its garments, emanates and originates in this realm. But nevertheless, the klipas themselves can be divided into two categories. Hamadrega hatachtayna yishalish klipas atmeyes v'rayis legamri ve'ein behem toiv klam. The lower category consists of three completely unclean and negative klippas, containing no good whatever. V'nikru b'merkevus Yecheskel ruach sa'ara v'anan gadol v'goymer. In the prophet Yecheskel's vision of the divine chariot, these three klippas are described as a storm wind, a great cloud, etc. And over here he's referring to the opening psukim in the Sefer Yecheskel, where the prophet Yecheskel begins his famous vision of Merkava, the vision of the divine chariot, that it was in the 30th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kvar. The heavens were opened, and I saw the visions of Hashem, Niftichu Hashemayim Ve'era Maris Halakim. Ve'era, and I looked, Vihine, and behold, Ruach Sa'ara Ba'am in Atzafin, a stormy wind coming from the north. Anan gadol, a great cloud, the eish mislakachas, and a flashing fire. V'noy galoy saviv, and a glow around about it, umitoichan from its midst, ke'en ha-chashmal mitoicha esh, the vision of the chashmal in the midst of the fire. In Zohar, the most basic Kabbalistic work authored by Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and his students, his great pupils, this pasuk is interpreted as alluding to the shalosh, to four types of klipos, four types of husks, known as shalosh klipos hatmeis, category number one, and klipas noiga, category number two. The three impure and unclean klipos that contain no good, which are alluded to in the vision of A, a stormy wind, B, a large cloud, and three, a flashing fire. And then in addition to that, there's a fourth clip, the Noiga Loi Savir, the glow around the fire, which is known in the Zayar, which is defined as Klipas Noiga, the glowing shell. Noiga in Hebrew comes from the word, Noiga means Zricha, a glow. So Klip Noiga Loi Savir means there was a glow around it, and this is a fourth type of clip. What are the differences? What is the difference between these two categories in klipos? The first category in klipos, Dr. Rebbe says, Ein behem tov klal. They contain no good whatsoever. The second category, which he begins discussing at length, the next perek in Perek Zion, already does contain good within it. But before we learn inside, let me just give a brief introduction to you should understand what is the difference between these two types of klipos. The definition of klipa literally is, as mentioned before, it's a shell, it's a husk. Just as the shell of the fruit conceals the fruit itself, and in order that you should be able to eat and enjoy the fruit, you have to peel the shell and go beneath it, and only then can you reveal the fruit. The same is true in the spiritual, metaphysical sense, that Hashem created spiritual forces, identities, characteristics, realities, creatures and objects, which are defined as klipos. Why are they defined as klipos? Because they are shells and husks that conceal their true inner identity, their true inner vitality, and their true purposeness of being. Kedusha, holiness, is the title of any object, identity, existence and reality which does not conceal its truth, its purposeness of being. In other words, any identity which says and claims in its very definition of being that I am here for a purpose, I was created by the divine reality with a certain purpose to serve the divine creator's kedusha. Any reality that conceals its truth and gives off an illusion of self-efficiency, or of arbitrariness, or of separateness, or of independence of anything beyond it, this is klipa. Therefore we say, the nefesh ha'lekis is kedusha, the nefesh ha'bahamas is klipa. Why? At the core of the nefesh ha'lekis stands the truth, the recognition that I have a creator, that there is a truth in life, and my whole purpose and being is to connect to that truth. At the Nefesh HaBahamas stands at the core of the Nefesh HaBahamas is the recognition and the identity of selfhood, self-direction, self-orientation, self-centeredness. And we all have these two souls, these two states of consciousness, which make for an ongoing struggle between the Kedusha perspective on reality and the Klipa perspective on reality. Two drastic perspectives. Two perspectives that are drastically different one from another. But in Klipa itself, there are two types of Klipas. There is Sholish Klipas Hatmeyas and Klipas Naika. In Kabbalah, one of the metaphors given for it is the nut, the egos. The egos has two shells, two husks. You have the outer shell, which is very, very thick. And when that shell is concealing the knot, you can't even see or recognize what type of knot it is. Its design, its makeup, its anatomy. Then, after you break that shell, the outer thick shell, there is still another thin shell or membrane, which encases, which encircles the knot. This shell already is not so concealing of the knot. It's much more translucent, and it suits the identity of the knot. You can already see what type of design and anatomy the knot is made out of. And furthermore, it can be eaten together with the knot. You can remove it. Sometimes you should remove it, but it can be eaten, versus the outer shell, which has to be removed. This is also a metaphor to our world's reality and our life's reality that consists of two types of shells. You have those klipos, which contain no good whatsoever. What does he mean they contain no good? They are very, very thick shells and husks that do not allow any ray of the divine reality enter through their portals, through their doors. They are klipos that conceal totally and absolutely any identity which transcends their very own reality. And that is what he means, that these three klipos are tmeis, the ein behen toif klal. They don't have any good. Of course, they, like every single reality, were created by Hashem. And hence, within their identity, there is divine energy and a divine soul. There's no question about that. But nevertheless, the divine energy, content, being, and purpose is so deeply obscured. It's so deeply concealed that they are husks that do not allow any glimmer of godliness enter their way. Therefore, the way to deal with these klipos is by negating them, by defying them, by ignoring them. But then there is another type of klipa. And this is klipas neiga, which can be defined as the translucent shell. It's translucent. It would allow the divine energy to come through it. It can express the divine reality. And this is what Yechezkel is referring to when he discusses the stormy wind, the large cloud, and the flaring fire. These are all from the realm of Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis, which, although they are three klipos, but they're all in the same category. The reason why they are three is explained because Ruach, you have Ruach Sa'ara, is of course a stormy wind. Then you have a large cloud, and then you have a flaring fire. These are connected to the concept of the three elements of Eish, Ruach, and Mayim. There are four elements which are at the core of every existence: fire, and air, and water, and earth. Earth is included in the former three, which we will not get into at the moment. And over here in the Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis, you have the stormy wind, which is Ruach. The large cloud, which clouds are created from water, is water. And the Eish Mislakacha is the flaring fire. And it's also connected to the first three emotional faculties, which are inclusive of all the other faculties: Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes, attraction, rejection, and integration, which the Alter Rebbe discussed in the previous chapters, that every one of these souls includes these faculties. Eish is at the left, is Gvura. Fire is connected to rejection. On the right, you have Anan Gadol, the large cloud, which is water, is connected with Chesed, with attraction. That's why water flows and Eish rises. And finally, you have Ruach, the ear, which synthesizes the fire and the water. In order that fire, for example, should cook water, you have to have ear. So that is connected to the third attribute, to Tiferes. So that's why the Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis are Ruach and Anan and Eish, because these are the three focal emotional attributes that encompass all the other attributes that exist in reality and in man's life. But nevertheless, they're all basically in the same category, in the sense that they are thick husks and shells that do not allow themselves to be penetrated in any way. So now the Alter Rebbe is saying that there are those realms in existence that their energy comes from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis, and those realms that their energy comes from Klipos Nega. Let's learn inside. Umehen, from them, from the realms of Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis, from the energies that Hashem created to be total shells that absolutely obscure the divine perspective. Nishpais v'nimshachis flow and are derived nefashais kol umais ayv degilul. In the Luach HaTikun, in the back of the Tanya, there's a correction over here. Originally in Tanya, in the manuscript, Alter Rebbe wrote umais ha'olam, the nations of the world. But in the prints of the Tanya in Russia, as a result of the censorship, it was changed to Umais Ayvdi Gelulim, the nations of the world which worship idols. But really, the correct reading is Umais Ha'ilam, that from them, from these energies, Nishpais v'nim shachis nefashis kol Umais Ha'ilam, flow and are derived the souls of all the nations of the world, v'kiyum gufam, and the sustaining force of their body. Both the souls of the nations, as well as their bodies, receive their energy, their vitality, from the realm of Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. The meaning in this, I have discussed more comprehensively at the conclusion of the first chapter of Tanya, with Alter Rebbe also mentioned this, which is in tape number 5. And I mentioned also over there the fact that is explained in other places, in Chassidus, in the Siddur of the Alter Rebbe, Shar Chag HaMatzos, in the Kuntres HaYispailos of his son, Rabbi Dov Ber, known as the Mittler Rebbe, and in the explanations on the Kuntres HaYispailos from the great Chabad Chassid, Rabbi Hillel of Parich, who was a Chassid of the Alter Rebbe, and of his son, the Mittler Rebbe, which all discuss that this is referring only to certain types of Ummas Ha'ilam, certain types of nations of the world. But then there's a special category of the nations which are known as Chassidei Ummas Ha'ilam, the righteous Gentiles. The Rambam and Hilchos Melachim at the conclusion of the 9th chapter tells us, Kol HaMekabel Sheva Mitzvahs V'Nizer La'Asayson Hareza Mechassidei Ummas Ha'ilam V'Yeshle Chelek Lo'ilam Haba. Any human being who accepts upon himself the 7 Noahide laws, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach that Hashem gave over to every single member of the human race, and he adheres to their principles in his life, the Rambam says he is deemed as one of the Chassidei Ummas Ha'olam, the righteous ones from among the nations of the world, and this human being has a part in the world to come. So Chassidus explains that Chassidei Ummas Ha'olam, their souls and their bodies derive their sustenance, their vitality and their energy, not from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis, but from Klipos Nega. And Alter Rebbe continues, Unefashes kol balichayim hatmeim vasurim v'achil. Also derived from these Klippas are the souls of all living creatures that are unclean and forbidden to be eaten, v'kiyum gufum, and the sustaining force of their bodies. Both the souls and the bodies of these animals come from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. That's where they receive their energy from. And he continues further. V'kiyum v'chayis. Kol ma'acholis asuris mehatzimeach. The existence and life of all forbidden vegetation too. Kimay arla uklai hakerem chulu. Such as arla and klai hakerem. Arla is a prohibition in the Torah that a Jew is forbidden to eat the fruits of a tree in its first 3 years. The first 3 years of produce are deemed arla, and the Jew is forbidden to eat them. Kilei hakloi hakerem is another prohibition which is connected with the concept of kilayim hybridizing. There are kilayim laws that prohibit, for example, the grafting or sowing together of different plant species. And one of these hybridizing laws includes a category known as kloy hakerem, that the Jew is not allowed to mix grain seeds in a vineyard. And if he does so, the produce of this mixture is forbidden to eat or to derive benefit from. So these are two examples of forbidden vegetation to the Jew. So the Alter Rebbe says the existence and the life of these forbidden realities comes from the realm of Shalos Klipos HaTmeis. It does not come from Klipos Naiga. It comes from negative energy. From the energy of Shalos Klipos HaTmeis, Ukamay Shekasov Beitz Chaim, Shayim Mem Tes Perik Vav. As is written in Eitz Chaim in Portal 49, Chapter 6, where Reb Chaim Vital records the doctrines of the Arizal, the great Kabbalist Rabbi Yitzchak Lurya, and he discusses over there how the souls of forbidden animals and of forbidden vegetation comes from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. The source in Eitz Chaim for the fact that the nations of the world which are not Chassidim Hashem comes from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. Walter Rebbe already discussed at the conclusion of Chapter 1, Eitz Chaim Shayim Mem Tes Perek Gimel, Portal 49, Chapter 3. But the additional factors which he discusses over here, the source for them, is in Eitz Chaim over there in Perek Vav. And the Alter Rebbe continues, V'chein kiyum v'chayus, kol ha-maise dibur ha-machshav, shal kol shasa leisa sevan feyen, k'mer shekos of sham seif Perek. Similarly, the existence and life of any act, utterance or thought, which is in violation of any of the 365 prohibitions, as well as their offshoots, their rabbinic offshoots. So the existence and life of every single one of these thoughts, words, or deeds are derived from these three impure klipos as well, as is written there in Eitz Chaim in Portal 49 at the end of Chapter 5. So if you realize, the Alter Rebbe enumerates those things, entities that derive, that their energy is derived from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis in a specific order. Generally, Hashem created four elements in our world, four different forms of life, one beneath the other. First we have Medaber, which is the human race. Then we have Chai, which is the botanic world, the vegetable world. First we have Medaber, which is the human race. Then we have Chai, which is the animal world. Then we have Tzemeach, which is the botanic world, the world of vegetables, the vegetative world. And then finally we have Daimon, which includes all inanimate matter. So the Alter Rebbe over here goes in the order from Medaber to Chai to Tzemeach. First he discusses those elements in the human race whose energy stems from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. Then he discusses those elements in the animal race whose energy stems from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. Then he discusses those elements in the botanic world, in the world of vegetation, whose energy stems from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. Okay, the question is obvious, yeah? Why doesn't he mention any elements in the inanimate world that come from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis? And the answer is very simple. It doesn't exist. There's nothing in the world of daimim, in the world of inanimate matter, whose natural energy comes from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. In the world of inanimate matter includes rocks, includes water, includes metals, and these types of materials. There is nothing in this form of life which receives its energy from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. They all receive their energy from Klipos Naiga. The human being could come and take daimim and connect it to the realm of Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. You can take a rock and make out of it an idol, which becomes avodah zarah, which is antithetical to godliness, to Torah, and hence you metamorphosize its energy. But naturally, in the world of daimim, there's nothing from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. But then the Alter Rebbe adds, in addition to those elements which are naturally from Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis, There is the human activities, which are from Shalosh Lepesatmeis. The existence and the life force of any act, any utterance and any thought, which is antithetical to the divine purpose, which is antithetical to the divine will, which transgresses something in the Torah, the energy of this act, of this word, of this deed, comes from Shalosh Lepesatmeis. It comes from negative energy. It comes from an energy which is totally concealing and obscuring the divine perspective. Yeah. That is a very good question. You're asking why, concerning the nations of the world and forbidden animals, he says, the souls and the bodies. Nefashes kol umasaylam, nefashes kol balichayim hatmeim v'kiyum gufam. When it comes to forbidden vegetation, he says, kiyum and chayis. He doesn't say that their souls and their bodies come from Shalosh Lepesatmeis. He says their existence and their life. And the answer for that is because it's difficult to compare the soul that exists in vegetation to the soul that exists in animals and in human beings. Although the Kabbalah teaches, and this is one of the basic doctrine in the Hasidic philosophy as well, that everything has a soul. Even a flower has a soul, and even a rock has a soul. But we're referring to a soul. When we say that everything has a soul, we are referring to the divine energy, to the divine spark that exists in every single thing, as I discussed earlier what that means. But then there is, when we refer to a soul in the sense of a consciousness which has passion, feelings, and perception. So that applies mainly to the human race and to the animal world. So therefore, when it comes to the human race, the Alter Rebbe says, the souls of certain human beings and their bodies come from Shalosh Lepesatmeis. And the same is true concerning animals. But when it comes to the vegetable world, he doesn't say the soul and the body. But it's difficult to define the inner energy of the tree as a soul. It doesn't apply to this form of life. So therefore, what he says is, the existence and the life. And the existence is referring to the external trunk, the external body or corporal dimension of it. And the life, he's referring to the inner vitality and energy that allows it to vegetate and to produce. So both of these elements come from Shalosh Lepesatmeis. Yeah. Huh? You're asking, why don't we see this? If this is true, Tak, that a fruit of Arla comes from Shalosh Lepesatmeis, and a kosher tomato comes from Klipas Naiga, why when you go into the supermarket and you'll buy a fruit of Arla, an orange of Arla, and then you'll buy another orange, not of Arla, you won't see the difference? L'chaid, apparently the energy is so drastically different. Over here there's a dark shell, and over here there's a translucent shell. That's a wonderful question, and the answer is, if you would be able to see on the fruit of Arla that it comes from Shalosh Lepesatmeis, what type of clip is it? Eichmira clip. The whole concept of Shalosh Lepesatmeis is that it has a glittering veneer that does not allow the human being to perceive it from its divine perspective. And even Klipas Naiga has that veneer, that concealing veneer, which sometimes to us looks like a glittering veneer. But ultimately, from the true perspective, it's concealing, it's obscuring. The whole concept of klipa is that the Hashem created our world in a manner that is a klipadika reality, which conceals and obscures this truth.
So let's begin with this pedik. Achnaf v'shachiyunis habahamis shebi yisrael shemitzad klipa. However, the vitalizing animalistic soul in the Jew, which is derived from the side of klipa, hamulbesh es bedam ha'adam, which clothes itself in the human being's blood, providing him with physical life, kenisker le'el, as mentioned before in Perek Aleph, with Alter Rebbe said that every single human being possesses a nefesh achiyunes habahamis, a vital, natural, animalistic soul, which is the essence of his physical and biological life and energy. So this soul that exists in the Jew, which comes from the realm of Klippa. And the same is true concerning Unafashais Behemais V'chayas V'ayfais V'dagim Tahirim Umatarim Ba'achila. The souls of the animals, the beasts, the birds, and the fish, which are pure and are permitted for consumption. And the same is true V'kiyum V'chayas, the existence and the vitality of kol hadoimim, v'kol hatzemeach hamutir ba'achila, of everything in the inanimate and the vegetable world that is permissible for consumption. All of these above mentioned realities, v'chein, and so too, kiyum v'chayis, the existence and the vitality of kol hamasa diburo machshave b'inyan ha'elam hazeh, of every act, utterance, and thought in mundane matters, she'ein behem tzad iser, that contain within them, in these thoughts, words, or deeds, there is not contained any forbidden aspect. Lo'y sheirish v'lo'y anaf mishasa mitzvahs lo'y sasev anfehin deraisa derabanan, being neither root nor a branch of the 365 prohibitive precepts and their offshoots, prohibited either by the explicit authority of Torah or by rabbinic enactment, whether deraisa or derabanan. So these, we're dealing with such types of thoughts, words, or deeds that contain within them no aspect of prohibition of iser, not from the Torah's perspective and not from the derabanan's perspective. Rak, yet, she'ein al l'shem shamayim, they are not being performed for the sake of heaven. If so, why are they being performed? Ella, instead, they serve ritzayin haguf v'cheftze v'tavas, the will, the desire, and the lust of the body. And furthermore, afilu hutzeidech haguf, even where it is a need of the body, and it's necessary for its very preservation and life, in order that the body should preserve and should exist, it requires these deeds or these words, etc. Ella, but his intention in doing these things is not for the sake of heaven. What would mean doing it for the sake of heaven? Kedei lavid es Hashem beguf, to utilize his body as an instrument in the service of Hashem. But in this case, he is not doing these things for the sake of heaven, to utilize his body for the worship of Hashem. Rather, the end, the goal, his ambition, and these deeds is just for the sake of the existence of the body per se. So, lo yadifi ma'isa dibur ha'machshav v'seil. If this spiritual intent is absent, all these acts, utterances, and thoughts are no better min nefesh ha'chiyunis ha'bahamiz ba'atzma than the vitalizing animal soul itself. What do we mean it's not better than the vitalizing animal soul itself? What is the definition of this soul? So he continues, V'akoil kasher l'akoil, and everything in this totality of things, the soul with its actions, its utterances, its thoughts, and every dynamic, characteristic, attribute, faculty, emotion, and function of this soul, all of it, Nishpa v'nimshach mimadrega hasheni shebeklipas v'setrachera, flows and is drawn from the second gradation of klipas and setrachera, shehi klipa revius, which is in the progressively ascending order of klipas, the fourth klip, after the first three klipas, hatmeis she'ein ben toif, called the first three unclean klipas, which contain no good, there is a fourth klipa, Hanikras Klipas Naiga, which is called Klipas Naiga, the translucent shell, Sheba Olam Hazeh, which this klipas naiga, in this world, hanikra olam ha'asiya, which is defined as the world of asiya, the world of action, rubai kikulei ra. Most, indeed almost all of the klipas naiga is evil. Rak ma'atayv ma'uruv b'saycha, with only a little good intermingled within it. Shemi mena. The Alter Rebbe adds in parentheses, from this little amount of good which is contained within the klipas naiga, buys midas tayvos shebenefesh habahamis shebiyisrael, come the good qualities which are found in the animal soul of the Jew, from a shekas of la'el, as explained above in the first chapter of Tanya. So what did Alter Rebbe say? Unlike the life forms that were discussed in the previous chapter, at its conclusion, which receive their vitality, existence, and being from the Shalosh Klipos HaTmeiyos, namely, the souls and the bodies of non-Jews, which are not righteous Gentiles, the souls and the bodies of those animals that are unclean and are prohibited to eat, the existence and the vitality of all those elements in the world, in the botanic world, in the world of vegetation, which are prohibited. In addition to that, every deed, word, or thought which is prohibited in the Torah, either it's a prohibition of the Torah or a prohibition of the Rabbanah. So all these realms receive their energy from the Shalosh Klipos HaTmeiyos. But the life forms that he began discussing in this parak, namely, the animalistic vital soul of the Jew, the soul and the souls of all permitted animals, and fowl and fish, which are permitted for Jewish consumption, and as well as the existence and vitality of all inanimate matter and of all vegetation that are permitted, and as well the soul, the existence, the vitality of every act, every performance, every deed, every thought, every utterance, which is not forbidden in the Torah. It's not forbidden, not midaraisa, not midarabbanan. It's just not performed for the sake of heaven to serve Hashem. All of these above mentioned realities receive their energy from where? From klipa, but from a klipa, which is a fourth klipa defined as klipas naiga, the translucent shell. And this klipa is different than shalosh klipas hatmeis. Shalosh klipas hatmeis, he says, don't contain any good, total evil. Klipas naiga is a mixture. In this world, klipas naiga is rubik kulei ra. Mostly, almost all of it is ra, but nevertheless, there's a bit tayv, which is intertwined, intermingled within it, which is the reason why the nefesh habahamis of the Jew contains also positive, very good qualities, because it comes from klipas naiga, and klipas naiga is a mixture of negativity and positivity. You're asking if he's talking about those ish areas in the world and life which are not asur, they're not forbidden, nor are they obligatory. They're the neutral part of life. These realms come from klipas naiga. But if it's a mitzvah, it's connected to kedusha, to holiness. If it's an aveira, it's connected to shalosh klipos hatmeiyos. If a person does a mitzvah not for the sake of heaven, what is its definition? The very performance of a mitzvah is a godly act which receives its energy from the divine realm in a conspicuous way. If it's not L'shem Shemayim, so there are other issues involved in this mitzvah as well, but nevertheless, the mitzvah per se is a divine reality. Vihi, now klipas naiga is p'china memutzas, is an intermediate category bein shalosh klipas hatmeis legamri ubein p'chinas madregas hakdusha, between the three completely unclean klipas and the category and order of kedusha, of holiness, of sanctity. Klipas Naiga is the intermediate reality between Kedusha on one hand and Shalosh Klipas Hatmeis on the other hand. That is the definition of Klipas Naiga. V'lachein, hence, pa'amim she'i nichlalas b'Shalosh Klipas Hatmeis. Sometimes Klipas Naiga is absorbed within the three unclean clips. As is explained in Eitz Chayim, Portal 49, the beginning of the fourth chapter, citing the Zayah. Upa'amim, but at other times, Shehi Nichlelez Va'ayla B'b'chinas Madregis HaKdush. Klipas Naiga is absorbed and is elevated to the category and level of sanctity. How does the Jew do this? So this, the Alter Rebbe will now proceed to explain. Would anyone like to ask anything? If someone goes over to a gas station and he fills up his gas tank with gas, I understand the question.
Yeah, if he...
Very good. If he fills up his tank with gas, the question is, so seemingly it's not Kedusha, but there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, a car ultimately needs gas, whether you like it or not. If you want your car to survive, you need gas. So, is it clip or not clip? That's a very good example of klipas naiga. Filling up a car with gas is certainly not prohibited. It's something that's needed for man's existence, for man's car's existence. The existence of the car, at least. Nevertheless, the act in itself does not bespeak any divine reality, any divine purpose. It's an earthly, worldly act, and hence it stems and receives its vitality from the realm of klipas naiga, because it's part of the shell, the veneer, the husk that is obscuring a divine purposeness of being. And now, man comes into the picture. It's man's choice how to behave with this klipas naiga. Either he can elevate the klipas naiga to the realm of Kedusha, or he could leave the klipas naiga as is, or even worse, he can lower the klipas naiga from klipas naiga to the realm of Shalosh Klipas Hatmeis. Man's obligation in the world is to mirror and reflect his own divine reality, his own divine soul, just as we don't want he should fall prey to the shell of reality outside of him. Man is not to fall prey either to the shell within him, his own nefesh habahamas. He is to be aware constantly of the divine identity and purposeness of being that is at the core of his heart, of his soul, of his life. And he is to introduce that transcendental element of life into all klipas naiga realities with which he comes in contact. So, in your specific case, if man is aware of the fact that by filling up his car with gas, this gas will become an instrument and a vehicle which will allow his car to get places through which he will be able to perform productive, godly and holy acts, and his intention in filling up his car with gas is this intention. So the gas tank and the fuel becomes an instrument to serve the divine reality. Hence the klipas naiga is being elevated into Kedusha. So this is the unique limbo. The klipas naiga is in a kind of state of limbo. Either it could remain klipas naiga as is, it can be elevated to Kedusha, or man can even do more than that. He can abuse his mission. He can misuse his own identity and the identity of klipas naiga and lower it to the realm of Shalosh Klipas Hatmeis. Yeah? Is this true, you're asking, concerning parchment, which is made out of the hide of an animal, which is used to inscribe on it a Sefer Torah, a tefillin, or mezuzahs? 100%. The parchment comes from the hide of an animal, which is a kosher animal. But nevertheless, it stems from the realm of klipas nega. It's a shell, but it's a translucent shell. When the Jew comes and uses that parchment and makes out of it a chefzus al kedusha, an object of holiness, that klipas nega has been elevated to the realm of kedusha. And in this case, it's not only to the realm of kedusha; it becomes actually a holy entity by itself. Yeah. It was his analogy, yeah. I don't have a car, yeah. Right. You're adding that the gas ultimately is supplied by Hashem. Yeah. And man has to be aware of it. Yeah. Okay, that's an interesting question. He's asking, if you have a car, and one day one person uses the car for a good, for a holy, for a godly, for a transcendental end. So the energy of the car, which comes from Klipas Nega, has become an instrument for the divine, transcendental, absolute reality. So the energy was elevated. But then the next day, you lend your car to someone else who's using the car, let's not say for a negative thing, but not for something of Kedusha. Just for something neutral without a divine intent, without a divine reality being introduced. So there's a major conflict of energies going on in the car. Is it remain Klipas Nega? Is it elevated to Kedusha? Just to give another example for the question. Some of you have eaten breakfast this morning. You have probably eaten toasted bread. So you have a toaster. So one morning, one person puts in the bread to the toaster and then eats and consumes that bread. Why? Because he wants to have energy so he should be able to live a moral and a godly life in which he shall serve Hashem. So what happens? The bread, which is from Klipas Nega, has been elevated to the realm of Kedusha. But not only the bread. The energy which toasted the bread, the toaster oven, and the electricity have all been elevated to Kedusha. But the next day, someone uses the same toaster oven for the bread, which he's interested, the reason he's interested in the bread is just for the sake of self-indulgence and self-absorption, without any higher transcendental perspective or vision. So what's going on over there? That's your question. You're saying the toast or the gas is not the end in itself. It's a means for an end to learn Torah, to daven, to give charity, etc. So that's why one day it could be used as this type of a means for this end, and one day it can be perceived as an end in itself or as a means for another end. But the question is, the energy of this car, which comes from Klipas Nega, everything contains energy with. Everything, inanimate matter, vegetation, animals, human beings, for sure. This energy is stemming from which realm? From Klipas Nega or from Kedusha? The answer is as follows. A car, as you all know, lives, so to speak, for a certain amount of time, and then it dies. And in the death of the car itself, there are stages. There is when it's still a corpse. And then there is the time when... But it's existing. And then there's a time when it totally deteriorates. More and more and so on and so forth. The fact that a car can be used today and tomorrow means that it has energy in it for today, for tomorrow, for another year, for another 2 years, for another 10 years, but not for another 20 years, let's say. So that aspect in the car's energy, which has been used up by you today for the sake of Kedusha, that aspect of its vitality from Klipas Nega has been elevated into Kedusha. But nevertheless, that has not drained all its energy and has consumed it all. There are still those aspects of the car's energy which will allow you to use it for the next day, or for the third day, or for the fifth day. So you're dealing with different elements of energy. You see, it's not that every single entity has one energy. It's not a stoic entity. You put it in a box. This is its energy. Either it goes to Kedusha or doesn't go to Kedusha. Energy is multifaceted, multidimensional. Many, many aspects to it, many dimensions to it. One aspect of the energy could be elevated to Kedusha. Another aspect, not. The same is true about people walking on a sidewalk. The same question. The stone on the sidewalk comes from Klipas Nega. When you walk on the street, you're stepping on the stone. You're using the stone. The stone is becoming a vehicle and an instrument which is serving you. The same question. There is one person who is using the foundation of the stone, and at that moment, he is thinking in his mind moral thoughts, godly thoughts, good things. So the stone becomes an instrument for something godly, transcendental, and is elevated to Kedusha. Another human being could be walking on the same stone a minute later and thinking immoral acts, contriving a plan how to harm another human being. So the stone now became an instrument for negativity, for negative energy, for shalosh klipos ha'tmeis, for a thought which comes from shalosh klipos. So what's going on in the energy of the stone? The very fact that the sidewalk has the ability to hold you on it and hold another person a moment later are two aspects in its energy. Vaharaya, 10 years from now, it won't be able to hold anyone. So that aspect in the energy of the stone, which served you, that was elevated to the realm of Kedusha. That aspect in the energy of the stone, which served the other human being, was lower to the realm of Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. Okay. Are these energies renewable or non-renewable sources? Resources. Hashem creates everything and imbues it with its vitality and energy. Furthermore, from the Torah's perspective, HaMachadish B'tuvah B'chol Yom Tamid, every day the energy of every single thing is renewed. Baal Shem Tov even taught that every moment the world is recreated, which means there is a constant dynamic and flow of energy reoccurring, which clarifies this question even more. So, I don't want to use the word using up the energy or not using up the energy. Energy today especially is understood to be so subtle and so abstract that sometimes the normal terminology that we use concerning concrete elements are not to be used for energy. Nevertheless, I'm just saying that it's not that the car has one set of energy, which can be put in a square box, and either it was elevated to Kedusha or it's not elevated to Kedusha. There are many aspects to that energy. There are many levels to that energy. There's a lot of that energy, and there's one aspect of the energy which allows the car to be used today. There's another aspect of the energy, or a renewed energy, which allows the aspect of the car to be used tomorrow. Very well. He's mentioning that this idea that we have just discussed earlier has to be contrasted with a chefetz shel kedusha, with an object that becomes holy like tefillin, like mezuzah, like a sefer Torah, which eternally and unequivocally becomes holy. So the totality of the entity and the totality of its energy is part of holiness. But I'm talking about a neutral element which remains neutral, albeit that part of its energy has been consumed and has been elevated to Kedusha. There was once one of the Hasidim of the Tzemach Tzedek, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Schneerson, who was the grandchild of the Alter Rebbe. One of his Hasidim's name was the Rashbatz. Rashbatz is an acronym of Reb Shmuel Bezalel.